I'd like to encourage you to take out your notes, would you please? I'd like you to look at the back page, the questions. We've got growth groups starting this week. The growth groups will be interacting on these questions. They will not be rehashing the sermon. They won't be talking about whether I hit the mark or not. What they will be doing is trying to apply what we're talking about today. So the first question is, to what have you been giving your strength in recent days? That's all because Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, devote yourselves to prayer. The word devote means what? Were you listening last week? Devote yourselves to prayer. And very simple, it means to give your strength to praying. Pray when you are alert. Pray that when you're strong. Pray when your blood sugar is at the right level. Give yourselves to prayer. And be praying for us that when we speak, we will speak with clarity and we'll take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us, and that pray that God will open doors. Second question, describe your devotion, the strength that you give to praying for open doors. For whom are you praying? Those who you want to tell people, these people, about Jesus, and those who are far from God. People right here who are telling people about Jesus, and then other people who are far from God. Pray for open doors. For whom are you praying? Now, that answer is not, well, I'm praying. Like, what people? Okay, number three. How do you set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts? I'm going to be talking about that. What difference is that making in your life, even when things are very, very disturbing? Fourth question, how serious do you think you are about always being ready to tell people why you have hope? Why would they ask you, of all people, why you have hope? Why would they ask you? And who's asking you? And question number five, how do people actually go about asking you why they have hope? And how do you know what to say? How do you know what to say? Now, if you just open this, your notes. I'm going to read these paragraphs because I thought very seriously about this, and I want us to process this together. So if you got your notes, please look at these right now. Let's take the time. And then there are four points, and I'll speak about these briefly. God takes his marching orders for us as Christians, for us as people, very, very seriously. We are to represent him well. And his assignment is very, very clear for all of us. Jim prayed for missionaries today. But his assignment, this assignment is for all of us. Are you ready to live up to your assignment? This is your assignment. Make disciples. We are to bloom where we are planted. Wherever we find ourselves, we are to make disciples. After all, sheep reproduce sheep. That's one metaphor. We are sheep. We're followers of Christ. And we are to be so engaged with people that we are making sheep of other people, with people coming to Jesus. So what's our story? What's your story? What's mine? How are we doing as disciple makers? Now you can write right there, if you've got your pen out, you can just write, the next words would be, how do I feel about those questions? That's okay. They're pretty personal for all of us. For all of us, folks, it squeezes me. And I hope it squeezes you too. Last week, we focused on being devoted to prayer for open doors and clear conversations about the mystery of the gospel. What happened as a result of that focus? Now, who did you pray for this last week? How much strength did you give? Did you write yourself a reminder note? I'm dead serious. Did you write yourself a reminder note to pray for somebody in our church who's trying to reach out to people with the gospel? Did you pray that they would see the open doors, that there would be open doors for them? Did you pray? For whom did you pray? See, this is all very practical. If this stuff doesn't work, then it, you know, ouch. Then I hope we didn't waste our time last week. And so here's the challenge. For whom did you pray that that person would be engaged with other people and see the open doors? And then what people did you pray that there would be for, that there would be an open door into the life, into their lives? This is very important. Now, I had to take the medicine myself this last week. I really did. As I started to chart out my plan for the week, the things that I would be doing, I wrote down in my day timer, pray for the people at Calvary, and I put down some of your names. Pray that there would be open doors for you into the lives of other people. I know something about where you work. I know something about your family and your extended family. And so I just a reminder, pray for open doors for these people. Is that a practical assignment or not? Is it really practical? So I would encourage you today. You've even got these notes, and you can write up the, you know, whatever kind of helps you remember, pray for. And if you can't think of anybody to pray for Marilyn. And I'm serious, because she's got a dear friend that really needs Christ and is far from God. And pray for her. And she's with this neighbor. She's with her multiple times during the week. And pray for her. If you don't know, if write down, after you write down her name, write down mine, and pray that I will have open doors in a variety of ways. People that I'm keeping in touch with, that I'm texting with, or I've got some email relationships, some people relationships that I have as a result of our school. Pray for me. But don't just pray for the two of us. Pray for Pam. Pam's actually asked for prayer that she would be bold where she works. Pray for her. Pam, was that okay that I said that? But pray for Pam that there will be open doors into the lives of people who don't know Christ. She's heading up Awana. And by the way, pray for all the Awana leaders, because they will have open doors into the lives of people. But pray that those doors will be there and that they will recognize them. I mean, there are opportunities coming out our ears. Stop and think and pray for each other. I was thinking Jim Smotherman was up here earlier. Pray for Jim and Lorraine as they walk through their neighborhood, because they have a relationship with people in their neighborhood that has mattered for all eternity, and it will continue. It won't take much imagination if you just jot yourself a note, pray. Maybe put it on a post-it note and put it on your mirror. Put it on the mirror in your bathroom. Put it on a post-it note on your dashboard. But pray for each other. Because when this church leaves here, we go into places where we can, there will be open doors if we've got eyes to see them. So pray for each other, and then pray for the people to whom we are speaking. Our teachers. Teachers in our school and teachers in our public schools, pray for them. What profound opportunities. But jot yourself a note. Put it on a post-it note and pray. Just write Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer and pray for me. So I want you to turn now in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, page 1202. If you're looking in the Bible in the rack in front of you, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1202 in the Pew Bible. Now your notes start out with what's happening. So what's happening in the context of the people that Peter was writing to? Well, this is this little letter. You start out, if you were to look at chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect Who are God's elect? Well, they were people that were already followers of Christ, to God's elect. And what do we know about them? They're strangers in the world. They're strangers in the sense that they're not like the rest of the world if they are now following Christ. They have a master, and that master is not simply a boss, it's not simply a ruler, it's not simply the emperor of the Roman Empire. They're strangers in the world because their master is Jesus. And he says that they're scattered, and they're scattered throughout all of these provinces of the world surrounding the Mediterranean. So then chapter 3, Paul says, to read this in its context, verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. This is about your relationship to each other. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. Any of you do that this last week? Evil for evil or insult for insult? Ooh. But with blessing, because to this you were called, to bless people? I tell you, it was powerful at Verdon's funeral yesterday. People talked about, this was so powerful, about Verdon calling, having all the grandchildren come visit him. And he put his hand on them. He blessed them. He could hardly whisper. He could hardly hold his head up. But he blessed them. And he's been input into their lives, all their lives. And just like Verdon blessed them, Paul says, or Peter says, do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult, but with blessings. And that doesn't say just to that guy that just ticked you off, blessings. This is sincere, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you? Listen, who is going to harm you? If you are eager to do good, well, there are lots of people out there that will harm me. Who will really harm you? Who's really going to harm you? Come on, get serious. Who's going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. And do not be frightened, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So who's in charge of your life? Who's in charge of mine? Who's in charge of our life together? Who's really in charge? Well, all these kids, if I ask that, they know, you know, the answer to every question in church or in children's church. Who's in charge? Jesus. Well, we all know that, right? We all know that. But, you know, most of you in a setting like this are not going to go, Jesus! You're going to just go, oh, yeah, I know Jesus is in charge. But when the heat is on, and when people are speaking evil of you, and when you're afraid of what they might think, or in a world, a culture where being politically correct seems to, if you're not politically correct, it seems to have its own punishment that's delivered against us. But who's going to harm you? If people don't agree with everything you say and everything you believe, who's going to harm you? But in your hearts, keep setting apart Christ as Lord. Keep setting apart Christ as Lord. Kind of re-upping on your relationship to Him. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. In the morning when you get up, and you go through the rhythm of your morning and your day, when you open your word, when you pray over a meal, when you pray when somebody gets in your face, when you pray when somebody disappoints you, when somebody challenges you, set apart Christ as Lord. Well, Lord, I know you're here. I know you're here. And you're watching and weighing everything that's going on. And no matter what goes on, you're still going to be Lord. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Keep fresh. Keep current. I keep talking about one of my friends who will say, when life deals him a blow, boom, he will say to me, as a recovering alcoholic, he says, Pastor, I'm current. And he's talking about, I'm current in my relationship to the Lord right now. And I don't have to look at this threat as being something that will derail me. I don't have to go back to what I used to go back to deal with my disappointment and my anger and my frustration. I'm current. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Whoops, Lord. I was thinking this week, man, I was having an absolutely cruddy golf game. And it should have not this makes this sounds like this says this you're going to think this is so stinking petty. You know, if you get time to go out there and swing a golf club, even if you top the ball, you miss it, you just you know, you're out here, it is a beautiful Southern California Friday morning. It's nice. I'd been together with the elders and we'd prayed and got a little bit of stuff done and then I went out and played and I was with people that I should have been delighted to be with, but I really wasn't. I had to keep re-upping. Now this is, I said, this is petty, this is stupid, but I had to keep thinking, okay, you know, I started trying to resurrect a song, What a Wonderful World. And I had to kind of go through that a few times in my mind, especially after I muffed a shot. It's okay. Come on. Hey, don't be so upset at the ball. Be upset that you're upset. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. So no matter what's going wrong, set apart Christ as Lord. Now that has a whole lot to do, please understand, that has a whole lot to do with the context of what Paul is speaking into. You're going to be persecuted. All of us believers are going to be persecuted. Seriously. And they're going to say bad things about you. But who's going to harm you if you do good? So, set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. Set apart Christ as Lord. Set apart Christ as Lord. Why? So that you will always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. How is it that you can manage? What's going on in your life? Maybe the person standing next to you is going to be a family member who's wondering, how are you able to handle this? Maybe it's a friend or a neighbor. How are you able to handle this? Well, I've been setting apart Christ as Lord in my heart, and you know what? He's in charge. He really is in charge. He hasn't missed a beat in my life. He hasn't missed a beat as much as I can tell as I read his word day in and day out, and I read it from the beginning of creation. I read it through all sorts of trouble that God's people got themselves into, the messes that they made for their own lives, and I see that God was still in charge. And I see that he was in charge when he judged them, and I see that he was in charge when he brought them back to the land that he promised to them, and I see that he was in charge when he sent his son, and I see that he was in charge when his son sweat great drops of blood in the garden as he was about to go to that cross because God took sin so seriously that he wasn't just going to look the other way. I see that he was in charge. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. Set him apart as Lord so that you're always ready to tell people. Always current. How can you, it's not that I'm just ready because I studied exactly what to say. I'm just always ready because I have a relationship with him that's current. And it's out of that current relationship, out of that current relationship that I speak. A friend had someone come up to him this week and say, okay, I'll give you 5 minutes to talk. Just five. Tell me why I should receive Christ. Wouldn't you just love that? It was probably in one of the most unlikely places. It just, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. That we say, well, had that person studied enough to, and was just all ready and had this argument and this argument and this argument? No, it was that argument was woven into the fabric of his life so that he was ready. Did he jam it down that person's throat? No. Just responded to a question. Someone else shared with me, you know, that's a good thing to, you know, to be able to share all these things with people. I don't know, it seems like all the people in my life that need the Lord would be probably the most unlikely people in the world to come to Christ. Wow. Wow, what fun to be able to pray for open doors in that person's life, or this person's life, or that person's life. What fun to be able to pray with a sense of expectation. It's almost like, what do I have to lose to pray for this person? And then to pray with a great deal of expectation that God loves these people that I think are impossible cases. Impossible. These people are 100% apathetic to the claims of Christ. But God tells me to pray for you and your impossible people, impossible relationships. And you pray for me and my impossible relationships. And have a ball. Have a ball praying that God will open doors. And then sit back and watch. But if you're walking with God, be prepared. People are going to ask you why you have hope. They're going to ask you why you have hope. How are they going to ask? What are they going to say when they ask you? Are they going to walk up to you and say, would you please give me a reason for the hope that's within you with meekness and fear? Are they going to say that? No, they're not going to say that. Come on. But they will say something like, my kids are driving me crazy. They will say, I think this country's so messed up. I was trying to edit what I was going to say. I think this country is so messed up. It's okay. It's so messed up. They're asking you with those words, why do you have hope? Why do you have hope? I don't know if I'm going to have enough money to get through I think I might outlive my income. What does that mean? Why do you have hope? Maybe two. Why would you share a little bit with me? I don't know. And you don't even have to say, oh, this is my opportunity. I'm going to drive a truck through this one. I'm going to share why do you have hope? And if you're walking with God, if you're current in your relationship with him, if I'm current in my relationship with him, We can't help but talk about Jesus, even if we're not mentioning his name when the opening appears. But we will be talking about him. I was thinking, Clay put in his prayer request that he would be bold in his witness. Clay's been living in his car, and you've been praying for him. And Clay knows people all around the community that probably none of the rest of us do. There's another guy you can pray for, that God will open doors for him, and that he'll use him in profound ways. Let's have a ball being the people God intended us to be. We don't have to be down in the mouth. We can just, let's have a ball praying for each other. That we'll know the joy of making disciples. Father, I thank you so much for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would remind me in some very, very practical ways to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. That we will be prepared to give to see opportunities and to seize opportunities. And I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in our midst, and that we will be the church you intend us to be. And I pray that if we're apathetic, Lord, I pray you'd about this prayer, and prone to forget, I pray you'd light a fire under us to remind us to pray and to be ready. To give a reason for the hope that we have. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.